WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty. It all comes down to this.
Victory will be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
Don't say it.
No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
This football already up to week three. I'm John Easter, joined by Coach Mike Kirshner, who is anxiously awaiting an arrival tonight. We'll get to that maybe a little later. And, of course, David Mills with us here tonight. David's the host of the show, so I'm going to shut up and let David do his thing. David?
Coach, how do you think the game went Friday?
Well, it depends on what part you look at. Let's take it from the beginning. You know, they start off with the ball. I knew their offense was explosive, and they won the coin toss. A lot of times when you play a team and they win the coin toss, they defer to the second half. Well, they chose to take the ball. So I knew that they felt like they had to get on as fast and quick, and they did. You know, third play of the game, Samson James, a great running back, IU commit, or IU offer kid, exploded up the middle and inside zone. We kind of got buried off the ball. Their O-line did a great job, and they jumped all over a 7-0, and you know, that's not how you want to start. You want to start off fast in a big game like that, but we countered it, and that was the beauty of it. They kicked off, and Joey Person made about a 90-yard run. I remember exactly what it was. Kickoff return for a touchdown. Got the momentum back. We went out there, and we put in a two-point play just for that game, and it worked. Next thing you know, we'd grab momentum right back and went up 8-7. Then we came back out, made an adjustment on defense, got a quick three and out. Offense goes down and scores. Go for two again. We're up 16-7. And we're kind of flying at that point. I thought our offense was clicking. I thought our offense was making a lot of big plays. We were converting on third down. I think we were something like 8 of 11 on third down conversions, which is phenomenal. I don't care what level you're playing at. Because you kept the ball moving, you keep the chains moving, you keep them off the field. We ended up running 78 plays to their 56, I believe, and that's a telling tale of the game. The only negative I would say with the offense is we left a couple scores in the second quarter. We threw a pick going in the red zone, and then we ended the half with a bad snap and did some dumb things there towards the end that might have put us up 43-14 at half. But the nice thing about our offense is, and we felt this way, we were very aggressive at the end of the half because we knew we started with the ball the second half. And by this point, our offense was kind of clicking. We went down and put a quick score up, you know, got up 36-14. And I thought our defense played well for most of the night. I thought we took a really good passing attack out of the game a little bit. You know, I think he ended with about 9 of 18, 9 of 17, whatever it was, for about 95 yards, whereas the week before he threw for 350 and 6 touchdowns. You know, he only threw for 95 yards and 1 touchdown. So we took a really good quarterback and a receiving core and kind of neutralized him. They did run the ball with some success on us, so we're working on that pretty hard this week. Special teams made some big plays. We kicked the ball around. We got to get some things cleaned on the kickoff team that we didn't like. Didn't punt, so there was nothing there to really talk about. But I like what we're doing. I like our aggressiveness on both sides of the ball. And I thought at times we played really well, and at other times we had some mental lapses.
You mentioned just now about the kickoff team and stuff. On both sides, it seemed like almost every kickoff it was going out of bounds. Was that planned on your part, on your team? I don't know about Avon, but for us, was it planned to do that for lack of a big return? Or
no, we just, our kickers were trying to sky kick to a side. We were not trying to kick out of bounds. and they were just kicking it too far to the sideline. It was going out of bounds. So we've been working on that this week. Two of our kickers play soccer, so we're very limited in the amount of time we get with them, and that limits what we can do and what we can fix on them. But we're trying to get better with that. You know, we got some work to do, but we were trying to kick away from certain people. You know, when they got great returners like Garendo, who's a state 100-meter state champ type kid, you really don't want to put the ball in his hand to find out if he really truly is fast. We know he's fast, so we're not going to gamble on that. But the idea of kicking out of bounds is not something we want to do. I think once we returned the kickoff on them, they then started kicking away, thinking, you know. But the week before against Tech, they didn't really see us return anything. The Tech kicks didn't go very far. We didn't get much of a return in that way. So we knew we had dangerous return guys, just like they did. And obviously we'll see it again this week. Pike's got very dangerous kids back here.
You talk about the way the game started, and pretty quickly they're up on you 7-0. But what's been a characteristic, I think, the last two or three years of this team, going back to your state team, they don't seem to get flustered when they get down. So obviously you turn right back around on them. Talk a little bit about how that momentum flipped right back on Avon.
Well, we spend a lot of time, like all coaches do, on special teams. I think some people do give it lip service. We do not. I mean, if we're on the field for 2 hours a night, over a half hour is spent just working on special teams. And I think that was a fruit of our labor a little bit Friday night. And nothing changes the momentum of a game faster than your offense goes down, you kick off, or your offense goes down, scores, you're up 7-0, they're all fired up, their crowd's into it, and you kick off and you run it back. Completely takes the wind out of everybody's sails. Your team then just jacked up. It's kind of like the same thing if you force a team to punt and you block a punt and scoop and score. The whole momentum of a game changes on a single play like that sometimes. And so we sometimes neglect the special teams and you don't get out of them what you could. But that was a huge momentum. Our sideline erupted. Our crowd erupted. Speaking of our crowd, they were awesome. We had a fantastic crowd Friday night. And hope we can duplicate that again. We'll get to that later. But it's a game changer when you can change something mentally. Because you're talking about 16, 17-year-old kids, and when something good happens, they're excited. When something bad happens, they think it's their fault. And our big motto this year is, if it's bad, fix it. You know, don't complain. Don't point fingers. Don't blame the guy next to you. Don't blame your coaches. Don't blame anybody. When you screw up, come off the sideline and make up your mind you're just going to fix it. And that was our two words going into the game Friday, fix it. You know, you jumped off sides. Come here, Ravion, you jumped off sides. What am I going to tell you? Fix it. Right. We're done. We're not going to discuss anymore. Just fix it. And if you do that, you're not going to get yelled at. We're not going to get frustrated with you. We know it means something to you, that it's important enough that you're willing to fix it.
Something I noticed, it was my first game. I didn't go to the Tech game, but I went to this one. And I noticed Reese Taylor, his elusiveness on the field. If the pocket was broken, he made positive yardage out of it. If it wasn't, he was able to throw a bomb. Explain how he affects the team just by his play alone.
Yeah, he's obviously he's – you know, I've been fortunate to be around some really special athletes over the years. I can go all the way back to my Warren days in the early 90s and coaching a kid by the name of Jamie Asher, who ends up in the NFL, and he was really special. And then you get to Ben Davis, and I coached against Steve Holman, who was really special. And, you know, you get to Ben Davis, and you got the James Banks, and you got the Chris Evans, and you just got he's one of those. He's one of those special players that comes along that kind of makes a coach smile, because he can make things happen when things aren't necessarily going right. You know, he's dropping back to throw, and all of a sudden this guy are coming after you, and he's we're really not blocking the way we want to be blocking, but he'll step, make this guy miss, pop up, throw it, whatever. So he can sometimes make something out of nothing, which is a trait of an athlete who's got a vision. He's got a sense about him. He knows what's coming, and he knows how to deal with the pressure of the situation. And, you know, he's one of those top guys that, you know, as a coach, you get every so often, and you're fortunate to have him.
You know, you look at this series with Avon, and I think we talked a little bit about it last week, where I think four of the last five games have been decided by 7 points or less. This one kind of stepped out of that. Although it looked like for a while there that it was going to be one of those type of games. If you're a coach that's preparing for Ben Davis, you give them a lot to prepare for, Coach.
Yeah,
there's a lot out there.
We're trying, and we talked about that a little bit off the air before we got going here, is that we're a senior-laden team. We still are running 54 seniors on the roster, and most of them played last year, and so we're able to do maybe more than what we were able to do with kids that are first-year players because they're comfortable with who they're around. They know each other. They play 7-on-7 together in the spring, all summer. They're at practices, and so you kind of feel like you can branch out from what would be the norm and be a little more aggressive in your scheme, which as you alluded to, it puts the other teams that are watching our film on notice that you got to be prepared for this. And when you do that, having been a defensive coach all my life, that's a lot of pressure. You know, we've played some of the great Warren teams of the past. When John Hart was there and Kevin Wright was there and Steve Tutsey was there and those guys, and they had some of those teams that you just knew they had superior kids like Jeremy Finch and Bond and those guys.
Darren Evans.
And they're going to be able to do things because they're so – Evans was a three-year starter at fullback. So you had to take him away, which allowed them to do other things, and it puts you in conflict on defenses. And that's a tough deal now when you're a 17-year-old kid and – you know, we're jumping out there and we score on that opening kickoff, and we don't run on the field goal team. We run on our offense, and we put in a play nobody's ever seen, and they're just looking at us like, what's going on? Next thing you know, we're scoring. Instead of 7 points, we're scoring 8. Then we come out the next time and score, and instead of kicking it, we go for 2 again, and instead of Reese running it, we now throw it, you know, and it's like, okay, how do you defend this? Now the next team is working to defend that two-point play. So what's the next thing we do off of that to kind of keep them off balance?
Well, you talk about the motto being fix it. And I know going back, we've talked about how last season ended. No one was particularly happy about that except for Eric Moore.
Yeah.
We'll put it that way. And probably some people down on the south side, they were pretty happy. But no one was happy with the way it ended last year. So is this aggressiveness that we're now seeing, even as a coach, you know, instead of kicking the extra point when you have kickers that clearly can kick,
right,
and can consistently kick extra points, is this part of that fix it mentality where you're being more aggressive as
coaches? Yeah, a little bit. But the more fix it is, last year in that Center Grove game, and I'll go by, and I'm not going to mince words. We did not handle the adversity of the game. When the game went bad, we did not handle it well. We pointed fingers at each other. We pointed fingers at coaches. We blamed the other team. We blamed the officials. It was everybody else's fault except ours. And I always tell the kids, when the game's over and we lose, I don't go to the press and say, this guy did bad and this kid played horrible. I say, you know, it's my fault. I'm the head coach. I'm ultimately responsible for this team. We didn't play our best game. That's my fault. I've got to find and that's the fix-it mentality. Instead of blaming everybody else for what went wrong on that first drive when they scored in 3 plays, let's fix it, all right? Let's look at the video, all right? Our D-tackle got blown back into our linebacker. Our linebacker was too tight, so we couldn't – the backside linebacker was too tight, so we couldn't get an angle. Free safety was lined up too tight, so we couldn't get his angle to get across the official so he can make a tackle. All those are fixable. It's not that you're wrong, or we're wrong. It's just that we've got to fix it. So when it does go bad – and we're going to have adversity. It's not always going to be like this. And we're going to have adversity. And when it goes bad, how you react determines whether or not we can figure out whether we can still win the game. Last year, when it went bad against Center Grove in the semi-state, which should never happen. You're in the Final Four of the state of Indiana in the biggest class of football with the biggest boys and the baddest dudes, and you should be enjoying the moment. You should just be, even if you don't win, it's a moment that very, think about that. There's 24 teams make the Final Four out of 324. So you're only 24 teams still standing. The other 5 classes can't play with the 4 big ones. I probably just offended somebody, but they can't. All right? You're just, you know, you tell me, you tell me who's coming from one of those other classes and say, all right, we'll play with Carmel and Center Grove and Warren and LC and Pike and North Central. You tell me. I'll take it. Come on into our conference and bring it on. I'm good. All right? Now, I'm talking below 6A. Huger, Crossroads, they can all play. All right. So when you get there, that should be one of the most special moments, but it wasn't. We were so caught up in who was wrong that we forgot to play the game and have fun. And so that's kind of the whole thing about fix it. Play the game, fix it, and have fun and move on. And if we lose, we lose. It's not the end of the world, but when you don't fix it, that's when the problems happen, because if I can't get you to fix it, we can't correct it. And if we can't correct it, we can't win the next one.
All right. Well, you have any more questions?
No. I think that'll send us back to the station for a 30-second break. This is Inside Ben Davis Football on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken at 7224 West 10th Street for its support of this WBDG sports broadcast. Church's is open from 10:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. daily. Church's offers a variety of chicken, fish, wings, and side dishes, as well as snacks, finger foods, and honey butter biscuits. Church's Chicken can be reached at 317-644-0574. WBDG thanks Church's Chicken for its support of this sports broadcast. We are back now here at Church's Chicken on West 10th Street, and we're going to have to be expedient here tonight because Coach Kirshner has an impending arrival.
Yeah,
maybe new grandchild coming into the world tonight.
New grandson. I know that for it's going to be a grandson. It'll be my second grandson.
Well,
so any moment now, we're just kind of waiting here.
We told Coach we said you need to leave. He's like, nope, we'll finish. So we'll play out the rest of the show. So no pressure, David.
We'll just get it rolling then. Something I noticed that this game was a pretty clean game. There wasn't much bickering that I saw from the booth. I don't know along the field if there was anything, but I heard it's kind of different with Pike. Do you think is anything going to pop off? Is it going to affect the game at all when we play Pike? Because I know it's a rival game.
It is a huge rival game. We don't have any situations with Avon. Mark Bless and his staff, we get along great with. They're great people. And we get along with it. Pike staff, Jimmy Graves and his guys over there, we've been friends with for a long time, long before we even started competing, and Jimmy was a coach at Pike. So that's more the popping off is more of a crowd thing than it is. Right. That we really don't have much issues on the field. Even though our kids know each other, they play on the same 7-on-7 teams, they're very familiar with each other, they're good friends with each other, but we just haven't had much on the field. It's been some really good football games. You know, we've had some knockdown dragouts, you know, back and forth. There was a period of time there, I think we played 2 out of 3 games were overtime games, and you know, back when Derek was coaching. And so I expect a great game, to be honest with you. You know, it'll be interesting to see which of our team shows up and if we mentally are focused on the game.
Pike last year kind of had an aberration, at least since the Moyers era started there at Pike, and now the Graves era underway. Kind of an aberration. They really struggled. In fact, they didn't win a game, but they got that kind of off their back last week with a resounding victory over Fishers. So what do we know about the Red Devils? What should we look for?
Well, they actually should be 2-0. They had they were up 32-30 on Zionsville with 36 seconds to go, and Zionsville went about 50 yards in the last 36 seconds and kicked a field goal with no time on the clock to win. So they could be 2-0. They're averaging about 37 points on offense. They're very explosive. They got two big running backs, and Lipscomb, number 5, and Peterson, number 7, are really good. They run 4 really good receivers, 4, 11, 19, and I'm missing one. The one, number 4, is quick as can be. They got a 2-year starter at quarterback who I really like. He's Reese Taylor-like. He runs the ball extremely well. He throws the ball extremely well. He's big, tall. They got an offensive line where they've gotten away from maybe the bigger, heavier kids. They've gone with the taller, athletic kids, and it shows. They get out in space. They block linebackers in space. Then on the other side of that, Coach Rodney Decker came back. He'd been coaching some other places. They brought him back on the coaching staff. He's taken over their defense. He's a really good football coach. He used to be the head coach at Arlington and Cecina, and he's been at Tri-West, and he's been a linebacker coach at Marion University when they won their first national championship, and he's been at Pike. This is his second stint at Pike. He's a really good coach. They're very aggressive. They're very physical, large kids up front that run very well, and you can tell they're playing with confidence. It's a tribute to Jimmy Graves and his staff, because I've been in the situation where you don't win a game. You know, I was a head coach at a former school where my first year as a head coach there, we didn't win a game. It's tough. You're fighting every day to keep your kids showing up and keep your kids believing in what you're doing, and that's a credit to him, because when you come off that, and then your first game out of the box, you lose by a point, and then you come back the next week and you beat a Rick Wimmer, who's a Hall of Fame coach and was a state champ in 2010, and you hang 43 on them, and your defense gives up zero. It's going to be tough. They've righted the ship, as they would say.
Something I noticed from the game as well is the offensive line for Ben Davis didn't look as big as the Avon defensive line. I know the big man in the middle, the nose guard, he was a pretty big guy. You just mentioned something about Pike's defensive line. They're real big and aggressive and fast with the ball. Do you think our line will be able to handle them like they did Avon? Because for the majority at Avon, I think they did pretty well as well.
Yeah, we rushed for over 200 yards. We had 550 yards of offense Friday. So we did okay. It'll be interesting. Avon had a really good nose man. The kid's just a sophomore. He's going to be special. And Pike has a couple kids just like that. I really like Pike's linebackers, all four of them. E.J. Williams is Division I linebacker and 23 and 35 and 14 and 15, and they rotate four or five guys in there. I just like how they get after you. When you watch film, they're very aggressive. They're bringing a lot of pressure. You know, we've seen it two ways against Reese. Some guys like to bring pressure and try to get Reese out of his comfort zone. Some people like to sit back, you know, so we won't know what we're getting until we get there, but their scheme is pretty neat. It's pretty special.
When you're trying to rebuild a program, excuse me, don't know where that came from. When you're trying to rebuild a program like Pike's trying to get back, how important do you circle specific games on the calendar and say, well, you know, this one right here is going to make a difference in how we feel about ourselves, or do you just go out and play them as they come?
I think they're like us. I, whether you're winning or losing, it's the next game is the most important game.
Big game of Ben Davis.
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
Tom used to say that.
For us, I mean, it's a big game. It's our first conference game. It's a West Side rivalry. In the last few years, they 2015, we were 2-0, ranked number one in the state, very similar to now, and they came in here and beat us. You know, it was a rain-delayed game, and we didn't handle the adjustments well. And they had a kid by the name of Aaron Jones, number 30, who was phenomenal. I think he went to West Point. Phenomenal football player. He's playing both ways. Really impressive kid. And they got a corner playing for him that went to Purdue and started at Purdue last year. So it's going to be a real challenge. I don't know that we look at any one game, this game or that game. It's just the next game we got to go play.
With Avon, they had a few star players stand out, like Isaac Arendo. We shut him down for the most part. Samson James, besides a few runs, shut him down for the most part. Does Pike have anybody that you guys are like trying to focus on to shut down?
Well, we got to start. It starts with their quarterback. Number two, he's really good. Can beat you with his feet. Can beat you throwing the ball. Very accurate. Can throw a ball long distance. He's got a big arm. I guess he's a really good baseball player as well. So it starts. We got to defend him, and then from there, you got to take away the running game. Like I said, they had number seven and number five, two really good big kids. Number seven, 6'1", 195. Number five is 5'10", 195. Big, strong running backs that when they hit the hole, man, they're like Samson James last week. When they hit it, man, they are downhill and they are coming. On the defensive side, you got really good linebackers. Like I said, 14, 15, but the one I think is a special football player is E.J. Williams. All over the place. He's led the team in tackles the last 2 years, and he'll do it again this year. He understands the game. I think he's going to Eastern Michigan on a full ride. So we got issues on both sides. They got four receivers who can beat you deep, catch the ball extremely well. Kicking game is solid, you know. So we gotta bring our A game. There's no choice.
Coach, I saw the coaches poll this week. I know you don't look at those things, but number one, Ben Davis. Number two, Warren Central. Number three, Carmel. Number four, Lawrence Central. Center Grove. Number five, Lawrence Central. Number seven, Lawrence North. Number nine, North Central. And receiving a vote this week, Pike.
Yeah.
Now, if you add that up, that's the Mid-Conference right there, all eight teams. Granted, 6A puts the Mick in with 32 teams instead of 64, like some of the other conferences might be. But can you ever recall any conference? And last week it was 7 out of the 8 teams. This week Pike joins the party and gets a vote. All 8 teams are regarded, are receiving votes in the poll. Can you ever recall that with this conference or with any other?
Our conference has always been represented in the top 10. I couldn't tell you the last time we were probably out of it, you know, at this point. I really don't know. But for all 8 teams to receive votes is just tells you. I know Coach Swan at Chuck Swanekamp was telling me the other day that our conference, they rated the top conferences, USA Football, USA Today, I should say, rated the top conferences in the country. And when you think about it, there's about 20,000 high schools that play football, and all of them are in conferences of some kind. You see what I'm saying? So so you got to figure everybody has 8 to 10 teams in a conference. So you're thinking there's literally 2,000 conferences out there, and they voted our conference one of the top 10 in the country. In the country. And you think about the Greater Cincinnati League, and you think about Valdosta and Lowndes down in Georgia, and you think about some of them out on the West Coast where you got the California leagues where De La Salle plays, and you start looking at those, and you're thinking, we're considered one of the most prominent conferences in the country, and then every week we got to go out and play them. And what's really crazy is not only do you play them every week, you turn around the tournament the way they set us up as an East Side school, and we play them every week again. So we're literally going to play conference teams for the next 7 weeks. Then you're going to hit the tournament, and if you're lucky and win your first 2 rounds, that's 2 more. Then you might play them in the regional. Then you might play them in the semi-state, and you might play them in the state. So you could literally play conference teams for the next 12 weeks is how we looked at it. Same conference schools for the next 12 weeks because the way geographically they decided how we bunch up. And it's legit. You know, it's a tough conference, and we've talked about this before on the radio. Some of our biggest issues is staying healthy, surviving the conference schedule, because it's so good. The games are so physical. You physically just get beat up, and your good kids may not be standing when you really need them.
We have a Ask Curse question coming in here. Bobby, that's the guy's name here, it looks like he actually sent this in last week during the show, but he says, how do you keep the boys focused during the week and on game day?
Well, we're always talking to them about what's important, you know. And our kids, I'm positive our kids probably look at the polls, and they're always talking about this or that. And we're always talking to them about what's the right thing to do. How do you want to approach a game? And if you go out and lay an egg on Friday, is anybody going to talk about you next week? Or are they going to talk about you in a negative term next week, which is what's going to happen? So we're always focusing on the process. We didn't have a good day on Monday. We were a little bit better today. Chuck Schwanekamp always says, you know, Monday's a teaching day. You're probably not going to be real sharp. Tuesday better be a little better. Wednesday better be pretty close. And Thursday better be on it. You know, that's how you kind of know you're kind of getting to that. And then always reminding the kids, and especially a team that's senior laden like ours, that this is a real fleeting moment now. And because, you know, they've been lifting weights and running and doing all the things we make them do over the course of the last 4 years. But if they seriously look at what's left, all right, and say you're only guaranteed 7 more games and 1 tournament game. So right now we've already finished Monday and Tuesday. You could have 7 more Mondays and only 7 more Tuesdays. And you start breaking it down, and they look at you like, oh, my God, it's almost over. Yeah, so if it is almost over, do you want to waste a game? Do you just want to take a week off and say it just doesn't matter if we win or lose? Do you want to waste it? Because life is really short, and here in about, 2 months, for most high school football players, it's over. And all of a sudden, they're turning their equipment. The seniors are like, oh, my God, it's done. I'm done. What do I do? Well, we told you, did you do everything you could do to be the best you could be, or did you take that Monday off because I just wasn't feeling it today, which I hate that comment. But we get that. Or I had the sniffles this morning, so I just didn't come to school and took the day off. It was easier to lay in bed. You wish you could do that again, and every one of them will look at you and say, yeah, why? Then why waste it now? Why not? You know, I'm 57, going to be 57. I've been coaching for 34 years, and I always tell my wife, love my family, love my wife, but if I could go back and do one thing in history, and she goes, get married again? I said, no, play Friday night football. And she looks at me, goes, you're serious? Absolutely. Because it was one of those things that's such a fleeting part of your life, and while they're playing, they don't realize how neat it really is. And I send tons of kids off to college, as you know. College isn't the same. They don't love you the same. They don't take care of you the same. It's a business to them. High school is – you talk to NFL guys. I know numerous NFL guys. And they'll tell you that nothing compared to high school football. And enjoy it. You know, we had Austin Colley out, and he says, man, nothing. Nothing. He was from Utah. Said nothing compared to high school, or Nevada. I can't remember. He's on the West Coast. And he said nothing compared to high school football. It was the most special moment. He played 8 years in the NFL. Made millions, and it wasn't as important as high school football was.
So that's pretty neat. Lights.
Yep, that's exactly right. That's what it's all about.
Well, we'll give him the last word.
Yeah, coach.
Last word. Here we go. Hey, Purple Rain, man, you guys were freaking awesome Friday. our crowd was awesome. Weather looks great for this Friday. We need to come out. We've got a tough task ahead of us. Pike is really good. I need you loud and proud. And come and support the West Side and come support these football players. They're pretty good.
If you remember the last couple of years, it's been a sellout. So
yeah.
come on out.
Yep.
Lots of good seats. Should be a great game. Friday night, the Giants take it on Pike. We'll have the pregame for you at 6 p.m. Replay this show. Kickoff coming your way at 7 p.m. on Giant 90.9 as the Giants take on the Red Devils of Pike to host them. Coach, good luck with the grandson. So hope everything goes well for Katie. And
yep, so do I.
Yep. So
we're getting close. I know that. So I'm heading to the hospital.
Hard to believe. You know, a couple years ago, we were sitting here talking about Katie having her hole-in-one and playing golf.
That's exactly right.
And now we're talking about her being a mother.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Congratulations to you and to Your wonderful wife, Mama Thanks. Kirsch.
Yep. Yep.
Terry Lee.
Thanks Kirsten. To churches. Appreciate yep. all they do for us.
Yep. All right, David, that's going to wrap us up. Thanks to Reggie Little back in the studio for producing tonight. And we'll see you Friday night. It's the Giants take on Pike on Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.